In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Sunday, June the 23rd, 2024. For our scripture readings today, we have sections from the Old Testament. We have Numbers, Joel, Ezekiel, and some New Testament, a couple from the Gospel of John and the Acts of the Apostles. For our reading from the Lives of the Saints, we have a article on Holy Pentecost. I think I saw it was from Alexander Schmemann again, 1974. We also have a short one about the martyr Agrippina of Rome. All right. Let's jump into Numbers here, which is chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, and verses 24 through 29. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took the Spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." So Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, "Moses, my Lord, forbid them." Then Moses said to him, "Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." On to Joel. Chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. On to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 28. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, for you shall be my people, and I will be your God. On to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." On to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And the last section, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 52, and chapter 8, verse 12. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard the saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And that is our scripture reading for today. Very heavy stuff, powerful stuff. Maybe because today is Holy Pentecost. In the church's annual liturgical cycle, Pentecost is the last and great day. It is the celebration by the church of the coming of the Holy Spirit as the end, the achievement, and fulfillment of the entire history of salvation. For the same reason, however, it is also the celebration of the beginning. It is the birthday of the church as the presence among us of the Holy Spirit, of the new life in Christ, of grace, knowledge, adoption to God, and holiness. This double meaning and double joy is revealed to us, first of all, in the very name of the feast. Pentecost in Greek means 50, and in the sacred biblical symbolism of numbers, the number 50 symbolizes both the fullness of time and that which is beyond time, the kingdom of God itself. It symbolizes the fullness of time by its first component, 49, which is the fullness of 7 times 7, and the number of time, and it symbolizes that which is beyond time by its second component, 49 plus 1, this one being the new day, the day without evening, of God's eternal kingdom. With the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Christ's disciples, the time of salvation, the divine work of redemption, has been completed. The fullness revealed, all gifts bestowed, it belongs to us now to appropriate these gifts, to be that which we have become in Christ, participants and citizens of his kingdom. The Vigil of Pentecost. The all-night vigil service begins with a solemn invitation. Let us celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the appointed day of promise, and the fulfillment of hope, the mystery which is as great as it is precious. In the coming of the Spirit, the very essence of the church is revealed. The Holy Spirit provides all, overflows with prophecy, fulfills the priesthood, has taught wisdom to illiterates, has revealed fishermen as theologians. He brings together the whole council of the church. In the three readings of the Old Testament, Numbers, Joel, Ezekiel, we hear the prophecies concerning the Holy Spirit. We are taught that the entire history of mankind was directed towards the day on which God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. This day has come. All hope, all promises, all expectations have been fulfilled. At the end of the Apostika hymns, for the first time since Easter, we sing the hymn, "O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth," the one which we inaugurate all our services, all prayers, which is, as it were, the life breath of the church, and those coming to us whose descent upon us in this festal vigil is indeed the very experience of the Holy Spirit coming and abiding in us. Having reached its climax, the vigil continues as an explosion of joy and light, for verily the light of the Comforter has come and illumined the world. In the Gospel reading, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, the feast is interpreted to us as the feast of the church, of her divine nature, power, and authority. The Lord sends his disciples into the world, as he himself was sent by his Father. Later, in the antiphons of the liturgy, we proclaim the universality of the apostles' preaching, the cosmical significance of the feast, the sanctification of the whole world, the true manifestation of God's kingdom. The Vespers of Pentecost. The liturgical peculiarity of Pentecost is a very special Vespers of the day itself. Usually, the service follows immediately the divine liturgy, is added to it as its own fulfillment. The service begins as a solemn summing up of the entire celebration, as its liturgical synthesis. We hold flowers in our hands, symbolizing the joy of the eternal spring, inaugurated by the coming of the Holy Spirit. After the festal entrance, this joy reaches its climax in the singing of the great prokimenon. Who is so great a God as our God? Then, having reached this climax, we're invited to kneel. This is our first kneeling since Easter. It signifies that after these 50 days of paschal joy and fullness of experiencing the kingdom of God, the Church is now about to begin her pilgrimage through time and history. It is evening again, and the night approaches, during which temptations and failures await us, when, more than anything else, we need divine help, that presence and power of the Holy Spirit, who has already revealed to us the joyful end, who now will help us in our effort towards fulfillment and salvation. All this is revealed in the three prayers, which the celebrant reads now as we all kneel and listen to him. In the first prayer, we bring to God our repentance, our increased appeal for forgiveness of sins, the first condition for entering into the kingdom of God. In the second prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us to pray, and to follow the true path in the dark and difficult night of our earthly existence. Finally, in the third prayer, we remember all those who have achieved their earthly journey, but who are united with us in the eternal God of love. The joy of Easter has been completed, and we again have to wait for the dawn of the eternal day. Yet, knowing our weakness, humbling ourselves by kneeling, we also know the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit who has come. We know that God is with us, that in him is our victory. Thus is completed the Feast of Pentecost, and we enter the ordinary time of the year. Yet every Sunday now will be called after Pentecost, and this means that it is from the power and light of these 50 days that we shall receive our own power, the divine help in our daily struggle. At Pentecost, we decorate our churches with flowers and green branches, for the church never grows old, but is always young. It is an evergreen, ever-living tree of grace and life, of joy and comfort, for the Holy Spirit, the treasury of blessings and giver of life, comes and abides in us, and cleanses us from all impurity, and fills our life with meaning, love, faith, and hope. That was Father Alexander Schmemann, 1974. Another excellent writing. Amazing. Now, some of these homilies or homilists are just really good at what they do. And when I say that, perhaps it is the Holy Spirit being the homilist through figures such as Father Alexander Schmemann or St. John Chrysostom or Seraphim Rose, Father Seraphim Rose, proto-saint, I like to call him. All right. Well, that's that. We have one more here, and then we will wrap it up. We have Martyr Agrippina of Rome. The holy martyr Agrippina was by birth a Roman. She did not wish to enter into marriage and totally dedicated her life to God. During the time of persecution against Christians under the Emperor Valerian, 253 through through 259, the saint went before the court and bravely confessed her faith in Christ, for which she was given over to torture. They beat the Holy Virgin with sticks so severely that her bones broke. Afterwards, they put Saint Agrippina in chains, but an angel freed her from her bonds. The Holy Confessor died from the tortures she endured. The Christians, Bassa, Paola, and Agathonoki, secretly took the body of the holy martyr and transported it to Sicily, where many miracles were worked at her grave. In the 11th century, the relics of the holy martyr Agrippina were transferred to Constantinople. What a beautiful set of readings today. Very special, it feels like. Well, thank you for tuning in, and may we be worthy to be vessels of that Holy Spirit. All glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.